This is a sermon from Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. Thank you for joining us. Learn more at wdmcovenant.org.
Our scripture lesson is not a traditional Ash Wednesday scripture lesson for reasons that I'll talk about in just a little bit in the meditation, but I need to set the stage for the scripture lesson first. This lesson takes place at a time when Jesus has gathered a very large crowd of people and has fed those people, 5,000 of them, with 7 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And then after this incident, he has gone away from the people. They've followed him and found him to have a conversation with him about what this meant. What is this sign that he has performed? Jesus has compared himself with the Old Testament prophet and leader Moses, who led the people through the wilderness, where they also were fed with miraculous bread from heaven. And Jesus continues his conversation with them using these words. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet do not believe. Everything that the Father gives me will come to me, and anyone who comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. This is indeed the will of my Father, that all who see the Son and believe in him may have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day." Then the Jews began to complain against him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They were saying, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered them, "Do not complain among yourselves. No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me, and I will raise that person up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'And they shall all be taught by God.' Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father, except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." This is the word of the Lord. Okay, so I have a question this evening that I would like an answer to. And you don't have to have the right answer because I want your answer to this question. A little later in the service, as you come forward to share in communion, you will also be invited to receive the sign of the cross marked on your forehead with ashes. And so my question to you is, when we do that, when we mark you with the sign of the cross in ashes, what does that mean? What does that mean to you when we mark you with the sign of the cross in ashes on your forehead? Paul.
That
you are a Christian. That you live under the sign of Christ. Yeah. What does it mean that we mark that sign, the cross, which is forever the sign of being a Christian, right? What does it mean that we mark that with ashes? I am a sinner. It's a mark of acknowledging our sin. It's a mark of repentance. It's an ancient sign. The ashes are an ancient sign of acknowledging our sin and turning. That's what repentance is about, is turning our lives back toward the way God intended for us. I invited Steve to say a particular set of words to you as he marks the cross on your forehead with ashes. And I invited him to say the words, "Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return." Sort of a final layer of meaning in this. I am a Christian. I am a sinner. I am mortal. My life is fragile and uncertain, and if you've been tuned into the news this afternoon, you've seen still more violence in our world today, marking out the desperate fragility of life in this world. But it is a sign that we too are that fragile. We too are that uncertain. We too carry within ourselves not just the possibility, but the sure knowledge that we ourselves will one day return to that same dust. But we do that under the sign of the cross, which changes that acknowledgement from just a mark of sorrow and just a mark of sadness, just a mark of guilt, and it turns that sign into a sign of hope, into a sign of possibility, into the sign that there will be new life. And we put our trust in that new life. That's what I hope this story that we immerse ourselves in this Lent invites us to claim, to claim the knowledge and the hope of that new life, of a new creation that comes into our lives and into the life of this world through that cross, even as we mark it on our heads. Now, we're shifting gears a little bit in our reading of John's Gospel, because in John's Gospel, Jesus chooses a unique way to identify and describe who he is. Jesus, of course, is God incarnate, right? And if you have missed that, we need to go back to Christmas. But Jesus is God incarnate, and he describes himself, names himself, using this weighted Old Testament set of words. He says, "I am," which is a way that God named himself in conversation with Moses all the way back at the beginning of Moses' story. But Jesus doesn't just say, "I am," he says that, but he also says, "I am the bread of life." He says, "I am the light of the world. I am the gate. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way and the truth and the life. I am the vine." He describes not just that he is God incarnate, but he describes the way that God comes to us. And so we're going to spend time this Lent noticing those ways that God comes to us. And God comes to us in these gentle, invitational, life-giving, recreating ways. Jesus reveals a God who is present with us and who is eternally and faithfully creative in our world. And this Easter day that we are preparing for even tonight, this Easter day is a new creation in Christ's love. Easter's not the first time that God created and recreated the world, but we look at Jesus' ministry and the whole season of Lent as pointing to and kind of being the definitive version of those great stories of God's creation and recreation. Now, what does that creation have to do with the knowledge that we are sinners? What does that new creation have to do with the knowledge that we are called to repent that we might begin anew? Well, that understanding of repentance deals with the knowledge that new creation does not emerge in the world without struggle and suffering, does not emerge in the world without a whole lot of hard work on God's part, and God accomplishes that work through Christ and through us. And so we are invited to spend these 40 days getting ready for this new creation, in part by setting aside some of what belongs to that old reality. We're invited to set aside some of the ways that we ourselves have belonged to a reality that seems defined by sin and brokenness, so that we might begin all over again as well. And so we set aside that reality in ways that include the ways that we subject God's beloved world to the forces of hunger and danger and falsehood and hostility. We set aside these ways, and we seek to set aside the ways of the world, not just around us, but within us. We acknowledge that we need to be changed and transformed as well. On Ash Wednesday, we ask, what is it that I need to be free from so that the world can begin again through me? And that's why Jesus said, I am the bread. I am the bread of life. I am the bread that has given my very own life to become new for you. Jesus invites us to recognize that just like this new creation comes with struggle and with suffering, comes with the need to be transformed, just like the palms that we waved last year on Palm Sunday have been burned and ground up to become tonight's ashes, just like last year's crop of wheat was ground up into flour to become bread, so that bread might be reduced to nutrients and become our bodies. Lent invites us to recognize that Christ himself, his very own life, was given to be transformed into our life and new life for this world. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He invites us to take his life into us, take his life into our very selves, which means we also are invited to be dismantled and transformed so that we too might be made new, because that's what God does. We're invited to be marked with the sign of a cross made with ashes, to be reminded that we are dust, and to dust we too shall return. We're invited to be marked with a sign of life that is broken in death, so that we can bear witness to the power of life beyond death. We enter into the season of Lent knowing that Easter is coming, and so we are free. We are free to set aside what we need to let go of. We are free to trust in the promise of new life. We are free to live into Jesus' promise, life for us, life within us. Thanks be to God. Amen.